The Aramis was supposed to arrive at first light, like it did in Celine's dreams. She would wake beneath a sunlit sky, the brine of the ocean winding through her nose, the city looming bright on the horizon, filled with promise and absolution. Instead, the brass bell on the bow of the Aramis tolled in the twilight hour, the time of day her friend Pippa called the gloaming. It was, in Celine's mind, a very British thing to say. She'd begun collecting these phrases not long after she'd met Pippa 4 weeks ago, when the Aramis had docked for 2 days in Liverpool. Her favorite so far was, "Not bloody likely." Celine didn't know why they mattered to her at the time. Perhaps it was because she thought very British things would serve her better in America than the very French things she was apt to say. The moment Celine heard the bell clang, she made her way portside, Pippa's light footsteps trailing in her wake. Inky tendrils of darkness fanned out across the sky, a ghostly mist shrouding the Crescent City. The air thickened as the two girls listened to the Aramis sluice through the waters of the Mississippi, drawing closer to New Orleans, farther from the lives they'd left behind. Pippa sniffed and rubbed her nose. In that instant, she looked younger than her 16 years.
"For all the stories, it's not as pretty as I thought it would be."
"It's exactly what I thought it would be," Celine said in a reassuring tone.
"Don't lie."
Pippa glanced at her sidelong.
"It won't make me feel better."
A smile curled up Celine's face.
"Maybe I'm lying for me as much as I'm lying for you."
"In any case, lying is a sin."
"So is being obnoxious."
"That's not in the Bible."
"But it should be."
Pippa coughed, trying to mask her amusement.
"You're terrible. The sisters at the Ursuline Convent won't know what to do with you."
"They'll do the same thing they do with every unmarried girl who disembarks in New Orleans, carrying with her all her worldly possessions."
"They'll find me a husband." Celine refrained from frowning. This had been her choice. The best of the worst.
"If you strike them as ungodly, they'll match you with the ugliest fool in Christendom. Definitely someone with a bulbous nose and a paunch."
"Better an ugly man than a boring one."
"And a paunch means he eats well, so?"
Celine canted her head to one side.
"Really, Celine?"
Pippa laughed, her Yorkshire accent weaving through the words like fine chantilly lace.
"You're the most incorrigible French girl I've ever met."
Celine smiled at her friend.
"I'd wager you haven't met many French girls."
"At least not ones who speak English as well as you do. As if you were born to it."
"My father thought it was important for me to learn."
Celine lifted one shoulder, as though this were the whole of it, instead of barely half. At the mention of her father, a staid Frenchman who'd studied linguistics at Oxford, a shadow threatened to descend. A sadness with a weight Celine could not yet bear. She fixed a wry grin on her face. Pippa crossed her arms as though she were hugging herself. Worry gathered beneath the fringe of blonde on her forehead as the two girls continued studying the city in the distance. Every young woman on board had heard the whispered accounts. At sea, the myths they'd shared over cups of gritty, bitter coffee had taken on lives of their own. They'd blended with the stories of the old world to form richer, darker tales. New Orleans was haunted, cursed by pirates, prowled by scallywags, a last refuge for those who believed in magic and mysticism. Why, there was even talk of women possessing as much power and influence as that of any man. Celine had laughed at this, as she'd dared to hope. Perhaps New Orleans was not what it seemed at first glance. Fittingly, neither was she. And if anything could be said about the young travelers aboard the Aramis, it was that the possibility of magic like this,
A world like this had become a vital thing, especially for those who wished to shed the specter of their pasts, to become something better and brighter.